Hi, I'm Ashok Anand, and I'm going to talk about cheap and large CAMs for high-performance data-intensive network systems. This work was done with Chitra Muthukrishnan, Steven Capps, and Aditya Kela from University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Suman Nath from Microsoft Research. So recent years have seen emergence of new data-intensive network systems which require maintaining large hash tables. The size of such hash tables is of the order of tens to hundreds of gigabytes. So let's take an example of such system, a WAN optimizer. These WAN optimizers are deployed on the WAN links from data center to branch office, and one of their optimization is to reduce the amount of data that is sent over the WAN link. So what happens when an object comes? First, it is partitioned into small chunks. Each chunk is looked up against an object store to find out if the same chunk was earlier sent over the link. In order to do this compression fast, they maintain a hash table. This hash table has a key as a hash of a chunk and value as a chunk pointer. Using this hash table, earlier sent chunks are identified and the sent data consists of new chunks. And this way, smaller data goes over the link. Our focus is on this hash table. The size of this hash table is large, and 32 gigabytes for a 4 terabyte of object store. As the storage cost is going down, the size of this hash table, size of the object store is going to be much larger, and so the size of the hash table. Furthermore, these hash tables require high-speed lookups, roughly 10,000 lookups per second for a 500 megabit per second link of WAN. Also, new chunks need to be inserted into this hash table for future lookups, and this may cause eviction because hash table would have become full. So these hash tables also require high-speed insertions and evictions. Other examples of such systems which require maintaining large hash tables are deduplication in storage systems, or some recent research proposals like content-centric network cache, or directly lookup service in data-oriented network architecture. So given that a number of such data-intensive network systems are evolving, the key question we want to answer here is that how do we build large hash tables in cost-effective way? And we call such large hash tables as cheap and large CANs, or CLANs. So here are some candidate options in storage systems for building CLAMs. If you maintain hash table on disks, this is not going to work because disk-based hash tables are so slow. They just offer 250 random reads per second. DRAM-based hash tables have very high throughput random reads per second and random writes per second, but they are too expensive. For example, a 128 gigabyte of DRAM would cost roughly $120,000. So in effect, they are just supporting 2.5 operations per second per dollar. Recent years have seen the emergence of flash storage devices, which offer 10,000 random reads per second and are very cheap. However, random writes are slow on flash storage. So flash storage seems to be a good option, but how do we deal with slow writes? And for that, we need a new data structure. So our CLAM design is a new data structure buffer hash on flash. The key features of buffer hash is that it avoids random writes and performs sequential writes in a batch. This works because sequential writes are 2 times faster than random writes on Intel SSD. Furthermore, batch writes reduce the number of writes going to flash, and so the garbage collection overhead goes down. We will see later that batch writes affects the lookups, and we have Bloom filters for optimizing lookups. So using these optimizations, we show that buffer hash performs orders of magnitude better than DRAM-based traditional hash tables in operations per second per dollar. So here's the outline of my talk. I've already talked about the motivation. Then I'm going to talk about our CLAM design and the key operations, insert, lookup, and update. I'll be briefly talking about the eviction. The details of eviction policies are in the paper. Then I'm going to talk about the latency analysis of different operations and how different parameters of buffer hash can be tuned to give good performance. Then I'm going to talk about the evaluation of buffer hash. So many of you may be familiar with the flash. Here's the primer. Random writes are expensive on flash. So the implication is that we should avoid random page writes. Secondly, reads and writes happen at the granularity of a flash page. So I/O smaller than a page should be avoided as much as possible. This may not be valid for reads, but for writes, we can do something. So before going into design of our buffer hash, let's look at why conventional hash table on flash storage perform poorly. So firstly, there will be keys which are going to hash to random locations. So this could result in random writes. And we know that random writes are expensive on flash. SSDs have flash translation layer which handle random write to some extent, but the garbage collection overhead is high. And we actually evaluated traditional hash table on Intel SSD, and we find that with WAN optimizer workload, it just gives 200 lookups per second and 200 inserts per second. This is much lower than 10,000 lookups per second and 5,000 inserts per second. This is due to the garbage collection overhead. Also, we cannot assume any locality in request because we are thinking of supporting a general workload. So DRAM as a cache won't work because many of the requests will not be hit and they will be eventually served by flash. So due to these reasons, conventional hash tables on flash storage don't work good. And the main reason is the random writes. So our approach is to buffer these insertions and control the impact of random writes. We maintain a small hash table in memory, and so all the insertion go into memory. So as this in-memory buffer gets full, it is written to flash. We call this in-flash buffer as incarnation of buffer. So to clarify further, we have two-level memory hierarchy. In DRAM, we maintain a buffer, and on flash, we have different incarnations of buffer. These incarnations are ordered from oldest to latest. In this case, the first incarnation corresponds to oldest incarnation, and the fourth incarnation corresponds to latest incarnation. The net hash table is buffer plus all incarnations. While this kind of two-level memory hierarchy results in good insert performance, this affects lookups, and we will see how. Now for a key lookup, we have not only to look up in the buffer, but also on flash, on each incarnation. So this results in multiple in-flash lookups. And so it affects lookup performance. So can we limit it to only one? So we use Bloom filters for optimizing lookup. Bloom filters are space-efficient data structures, so they can fit in memory. For each incarnation, we first look up into Bloom filter. This is in-memory lookup, and so it's faster than in-flash lookup. If it is not found, then we don't look into incarnation on flash. If it is found, then we look into incarnation, but there may be some false positive. And so Bloom filters should be configured carefully to reduce the false positive rate. We find that 2 GB Bloom filters is sufficient for 32 GB of flash to reduce the false positive rate below 0.01. And by doing this, we see here that we can have, on average, one lookup on flash. So let's see how our data structure described so far affects the update operation. So the naive approach to support update is to directly modify the key on flash. But again, this results in expensive random writes. So we don't take this approach. Instead of that, we have lazy updates. So we insert the key into the buffer, and when the buffer becomes full, it is eventually going to be written to flash. Now the latest incarnation will contain the new value of the key. So in this example, the fourth incarnation contains the new value, and the first incarnation contains the old value. When we do lookup, we will check the latest incarnation first. And whenever we get that, we just return it. This will ensure that only updated values are returned. I'll be briefly talking about the evictions, which will be required for streaming applications like WAN optimizers. Eviction policies will depend on applications, and different applications may have different requirements, like LRU, FIFO, or priority-based evictions. In order to support these different policies, Buffer has two primitives. One is full discard, where we evict all the items. It can be easily seen that full discard would naturally implement FIFO because we are evicting incarnations in order. The other primitive is partial discard, where we retain few items. Priority-based evictions can be supported by partial discard by retaining high-priority items. So I want to emphasize here that Buffer hash is best suited for FIFO, and other useful policies can be supported, but at some additional cost. The details of different eviction policies are in the paper. So far we have talked about, like with a single buffer in DRAM, how different operations and eviction policies are supported. But there's an issue with single buffer. The issue is that of high worst case insert latency. For example, if your DRAM is 1 gigabyte and you are writing full buffer on flash, this will take few seconds. So the subsequent lookups, let's say in WAN optimizer application, will have to stall for this. So in order to deal this high worst case latency, we partition the buffers. This partitioning is based on first few bits of queue space. So in this example, based on the first bit, we partition the buffer into two small buffer. Recall that we want to avoid I/O less than a page. So the size of this partition buffer should be greater than a page. Also recall that we want to avoid random page writes. So again, the size of this buffer should be greater than or equal to block. So by doing this, in this way, we reduce the worst case latency because smaller buffer gets written to flash. And the eviction policies now are applied per buffer. Stronger eviction semantics for entire buffer hash is a subject for future work. So putting it all together, we have multiple buffers in memory. For each buffer, we have multiple incarnations. And for each incarnation, we have one in-memory Bloom filter. So the net hash table is all the buffers in DRAM and all the incarnations on flash. So next, I'm going to talk about the analysis of different operations and how different parameters of buffer hash can be tuned to give good performance. So let's look at the insertion latency first. As we have already seen, that the worst case happens when the full buffer is written to disk, to flash. So the worst case is proportional to the size of the buffer. The average case is constant for buffer greater than block size. In case of lookups, a key has to be looked up in all incarnation. And for each incarnation, if there's a false positive rate, then it has to be looked into flash. So the average case is proportional to the number of incarnation and the false positive rate of Bloom filters. So using this analysis, I'm going to talk next how we can tune the parameter, the aggregate size of buffers for buffer hash. So the total size of buffer is B1 plus B2 to Bn. And the question here is that given a fixed amount of DRAM and flash, how much of DRAM should be allocated to all buffers? Once we fix this quantity, we can assign the remaining amount to Bloom filters. So as we had seen from our earlier analysis, that lookup is proportional to number of incarnations and false positive rate. And what is number of incarnations? It is dependent on flash size divided by total buffer size. So if we have two small buffer size, the number of incarnations would be very large. So the lookup cost would be very high. So clearly, too small is not an optimal. What about too large? But if you have two large buffers, the size of Bloom filters would be smaller. And false positive rate increases as the size of Bloom filters decreases. So too large is also not optimal. The optimal would lie somewhere in between. And based on our analysis, we find that optimal is 2 times SSD divided by size of entry. How do we get to this equation is in the paper. So let's look at another parameter, the size of a partition buffer. We have already talked that the size of a partition buffer affects the worst case insertion cost. And different applications may have different requirements, so this parameter can be adjusted according to it. For WAN optimizer, we choose it as a 128 kilobyte size of a block. So now I'm going to talk about the evaluation of buffer hash. We have implemented our buffer hash prototype in C++ and configured it using 4 gigabyte of DRAM and 32 gigabyte of Intel SSD. We have also tried other SSD, transient SSD. Based on our analysis of parameter tuning, we find that 2 gigabyte of buffers and 2 gigabyte of balloon filters is good enough to reduce the false positive rate to less than 0.01. We have analyzed with different eviction policies, but in this talk, I'm only going to talk about FIFO eviction policy. So we use the WAN optimizer workload. In the WAN optimizer workload, for each key lookup, there's also an insert. So we'll follow that pattern. We have analyzed with different hit rates. In this talk, I'm just going to talk about the evaluation with 40% hit rate. We also use workload from real packet traces, but here I'm just going to talk about random keys. We compare the performance of buffer hash with Berkeley DB. Berkeley DB is a traditional hash table and is used in many of the WAN optimizers. So we first see here that buffer hash lookup latency is 0.06 milliseconds, while Berkeley DB is 4.6 milliseconds. So it gets much better lookup. Inserts, buffer hash insert latency is 0.006 milliseconds, while Berkeley DB has 4.8 milliseconds of insert latency. So much better inserts as well. So what is actually happening? I'm going to describe next. So in this graph, on the x-axis, we have insert latency in milliseconds, and on the y-axis, we have CDF. So the first thing we notice here that for buffer hash, 99% of inserts takes just less than 0.1 milliseconds. This is happening due to buffering. And due to buffering, average case is much lower. In case of Berkeley DB, 40% of inserts take more than 5 milliseconds. And this is happening due to random writes. Random writes are slow. So let's look at the performance of lookups. On the x-axis, we have lookup latency in milliseconds for 40% of hit workload. On the y-axis, we have CDF. So first thing we notice here that 60% of lookups have latency less than 0.01 milliseconds. This is happening because they're actually not going to flash. And this savings is due to Bloom filters. Rest of them has more than 0.15 milliseconds. And this is because we experimentally found that Intel SSD has random page lookup latency of 0.15 milliseconds. There are some more than one page lookups due to false positives, but 99% of lookups are less than 0.2 milliseconds. On the other hand, Berkeley DB, in case of Berkeley DB, 40% of lookups are more than 5 milliseconds. This is in contradictory to what we would have expected, because we know that Intel SSD has good random page lookup performance. This is happening because we have continuous mixed read-write workload. And so reads are being affected by writes due to garbage collection overhead. Reads get blocked by garbage collections. So let's look at the performance in operations per second per dollar. So we already, translating the latency numbers into throughput, we see here that we get 16,000 lookups per second and 160,000 inserts per second. The cost of Intel SSD and the DRAM combined is $400. So we get roughly 42 lookups per second per dollar and 420 inserts per second per dollar. This is an orders of magnitude better than 2.5 operations per second per dollar of DRAM-based hash tables. We also evaluated buffer hash with other workloads by varying the fraction of lookups and on other SSDs, transient SSD. Here are the results on transient SSD, and we find here that with different workloads also, buffer hash performs much better than Berkeley DB. The one thing we notice here that buffer hash gives a better performance when there's a high read, high writes, as compared to high reads. So buffer hash is ideally suited for write-intensive workloads. To summarize the evaluation, buffer hash performs orders of magnitude better in operations per second per dollar compared to traditional hash tables on DRAM and disks as well. The evaluation with disks are in the paper. Buffer hash is best suited for FIFO eviction policy, and other policies can be supported at additional cost. Evaluation with other eviction policies are in the paper. We also evaluated like how buffer hash improves WAN optimizer. And we found that WAN optimizer using buffer hash can operate optimally at 200 megabit per second, much better than 10 megabit per second for Berkeley DB. The evaluation with WAN optimizer details are in the paper. So let's look at some of the related work. Found a recently proposed proposal. It also has a key value storage system. It uses a cluster of WIMPy nodes, and each WIMPy node has its hash table in DRAM. So in contrast, we target hash table much bigger than DRAM. So in a way, our approach is complementary to FAUN approach, that now each WIMPy node can have a hash table much larger than DRAM. Also, FAUN is targeted for high throughput systems, while we target low latency as well as high throughput systems. A recent research proposal is Hashcast, and they also maintain in-memory hash table for objects stored on disk. So similar to FAUN, our approach is complementary to hash cache. So to conclude, we have designed a new data structure, buffer hash, for building clamps. Our clam on Intel SSD achieves high operations per second per dollar for today's data intensive systems. Our clam can support useful eviction policies, and it dramatically improves performance of WAN optimizers. Thank you, and I'll take questions. So, just that Jeff wanted us to know that there's a conference, ANCS, and the deadline is coming up.
Questions?
Well, since you were good enough to put up my slide, I'll give you a question. Your paper, which I skimmed briefly, mentions the possibility of using phase change RAM or other technologies instead of flash, since it's well known that flash doesn't actually have much more lifetime in the next few years. It'll sort of bottom out. But they have different characteristics in terms of especially the write delays. How much of your design would still be useful if you were using phase change RAM, since you're doing a lot to avoid the random writes?
Okay, so yeah, phase change memory has different characteristics altogether. I mean, instead of working at the granularity of a page, it works at the granularity of bytes. So, but the key design principle that we have having here is that there's asymmetry between random writes and the sequential writes. There's asymmetry between the random reads and the There's asymmetry between the random writes and the sequential writes. So as long as this kind of symmetry is there, such kind of approach will still be applicable.
I can try a question. So your results look very impressive in the comparison mm-hmm. with Berkeley DB.
Mm-hmm.
How was Berkeley DB configured? Did it have exactly the same amount of RAM available for caching everything and so on?
Yeah. So Berkeley DB has the same amount of caching.
So the key reason you're winning is because your Bloom filter is more compact and can avoid going to disk to check when stuff is not in?
Definitely Bloom filter is saving, but the other thing that is saving, that in case of Berkeley DB, there will be a lot of random writes.
Right.
But in case of buffer hash, since we are buffering writes, let's say like after every 4,000 inserts, when buffer gets full, then only buffer is actual writes happens to flash. Mm-hmm. So this way, the actual amount of write workload going to flash is reduced significantly. Okay. So we are getting good performance.
Very cool. Okay, let's say, go ahead.
I'm just gonna pester him with one more question, and I think we're safe asking this because Margo's not in the room. But so as someone who's beaten up on BDB a little bit on flash in the past, to another person who's now beating up on BDB in flash, should we maybe just think about writing a BDB that works on flash and then we can avoid the follow-on four papers to ours that do this? Or is there something intrinsic that you're taking advantage of beyond just having a good key value mapping on flash as well?
Mm-hmm. So BDB is, I think BDB supports not just hash table, but a variety of other...
But if you put your your time into hacking BDB and giving it BDB O Flash or something like that, would that solve all the problems? Or is there more that you've done specifically that would make a generic database inappropriate for your scenario?
Yeah, so what I'm trying to say here is that BDB is like a database, has a other, not just the hash table kind of operation, but also other kind of operation like B plus tree and all, right? And this kind of is targeted towards hash tables.
Okay, I'll
okay, I can take this offline.
Okay, let's thank the speaker again. And thank you all for coming. I hope to see you at the next MSDI.